I welcome you with the words of Reverend Angela. Don't leave your broken heart at the door. Bring it to the altar of life. Don't leave your anger behind. It is high standards, and the world needs vision. Bring them with you, and your joy and your passion. Bring your loving and your courage and your conviction. Bring your need for healing and your powers to heal. There is work to do, and you have all that you need to do it right here in this room. I'm Reverend Bob LaValle, and I'm so delighted to be joined here by Reverend Angela Herrera and our music director, Susan Peck, and our worship leader, Raven Reed. And our DJ today is Dan Small, and our tech team is Chris Paul, Vance Bass, Raymond Wolfgang, and Christine Robinson. And we're so grateful to them for making it all happen. And I want to mention that we have a very special Time for All Ages for you today. It's one from deep in the archives. It's a video of our minister, Emerita, Christine Robinson, and the puppets having a Halloween conversation at least a decade ago. This is from even before we built the new sanctuary. And I think you're gonna love it. Let's hear our announcements.
Good morning. Don't forget that today, November 1st, is the grand opening of the Social Justice Council auction on Facebook. Just open Facebook and search for First U Social Justice Auction to find it. You can bid on items during the whole month of November. Proceeds of the auction will be used to benefit justice groups and causes in our community and elsewhere. Could you use some spiritual centering this week? If the events of the election have you feelings, join the ministers for a special post-election Vesper service on Wednesday at 7 p.m. You can copy the Zoom link from the chat box now or find it on the church website. Finally, please join us this afternoon at 2 p.m. for a special Blessing of the Animals service. As a virtual service, this is a unique opportunity for all of our beloved animal companions to receive a blessing from Reverend Angela, even the ones who can't usually join us at church because they don't travel well. Please check this week's e-broadsheet for more information or look in the chat box.
Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Probasco, chair of the Church's Radical Generosity Committee. We know that everybody has been really busy with all the new normal items on your pandemic to-do list. Gotta feed that sourdough starter, search for toilet paper, find a mask that doesn't fog up your glasses. Gotta worry about the election, but at least we get to hang out with our new COVID rescue pets while we're doing it. But there's one other thing we need you to check off: making your annual pledge to First Unitarian. Great, our operators are standing by. Except, nah, not really. Because the deadline was yesterday. And also, we don't do telethons. But you can still make your pledge by clicking the Grow logo on the church website and completing the virtual pledge card. Our board needs to know what our total is going to be so that they can set our budget for next year and First Unitarian can continue meeting the many, many needs we know are out there. So please show your support for all that this church does, for you, for this congregation, and for our larger community. And make your 2021 pledge today. Thank you.
I want to echo the words of Catherine and encourage everyone to pledge or let us know if you won't be able to pledge this year. We're trying to wrap up the pledge drive, but we're only at 56% of our goal. And only about half the households that pledged last year have pledged so far this year. So please pledge. Let's light our chalices. We kindle our chalices with the words of Reverend Peter Rabel, paraphrased from Deuteronomy 6. We build on foundations that we did not lay. We warm ourselves at fires that we did not light. We sit in the shade of trees that we did not plant. We drink from wells we did not dig. We profit from persons we did not know. We are ever bound in community. Come, let us worship together.
Good morning. Will you please join me in our opening song? This is a piece written by Carla Gates, and it was one of the honorable mentions in the Vincent Silliman Hymn Contest a few years ago, about 6 years ago. So this is one that has been coming into the UU world slowly, bit by bit. It's called Rivers of Grace, and this is a healing song for our month of November for the theological theme of healing.
Okay, so are you guys ready for Halloween?
Yeah.
Do you have your costumes yet?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
a vampire. A vampire, okay.
A lilac fairy.
A lilac fairy.
A cheerleader.
A cheerleader. Anybody else want to tell me what they're going to be for Halloween?
I'm going to be a firefighter.
A firefighter, all right.
I'll be one from Star Wars.
You will be?
Obi-Wan from Star Wars.
Obi-Wan, okay.
I'm going to be Homecoming from Star Wars.
Okay, there's a lot of Star Wars still going on in this generation. I'm glad to hear it. Great, great stories. So I, oh yes. You're going to be a warrior?
A knight or a warrior.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like you guys are ready to have good fun. The puppets tell me that they have costumes also. And they tell me that Olivia is coming. So when we call them, we'll have to call Olivia too. So are you ready? Rebecca, Rebecca, Carl, Carl, Olivia, Olivia. Well, hello. Hi, Olivia. How are you? It's good to see you. We haven't seen you in a long time. And let's see. Red cape. Little Red Riding Hood? No? Red cape. Yeah, let's see. Quidditch cape. Are you Harry Potter's owl? Oh, great idea. What is her name? Hedwig. Hedwig, you're Hedwig. Very good. And Rebecca, you're a ghost. Very nice. I think you're going to scare a lot of people with that costume. All right. Where's Paul? He's too scared to come up. Oh, is he scared of the ghost costume? Whoops. Maybe we should give him a hand with this. You think? Let's see. Hey, Carl, you can come up. It's okay. I can protect you from the ghost. No? Oh, I can. I can. I have special powers. How can I protect you from the... Well, ministers have special powers in the matter of ghosts. Yeah. Oh, Olivia doesn't believe me. No? No special powers? Well, you just watch and see. You keep an open mind, okay? All right. Carl, what is it that's so scary about ghosts? Ghosts are dead people. Well, that's true. That's the theory anyway. What's so scary about a dead person? No? Nothing too scary about a dead person? How about, is there something else scary? Oh, ghosts sneak up behind you and say boo. That is alarming if you're not watching for it, isn't it? Right, it is. I happen to know that this particular ghost can only whisper. Does that help? Does that help? A little bit. Well, how about if we make a deal with this ghost? No sneaking around and saying boo. Think we can? Would that be okay, Miss Ghost? No sneaking around and you could do that? Okay. All right. So that's better. Still not okay though, huh? No. Okay, let's see. Okay, so you have a costume on. I see your costume. What kind of costume do you have here? You have a kerchief, a cowboy kerchief? No? Oh dear. What are you? What's your costume? Are you a Santa Fe wooden coyote with a kerchief? That's very good. That's good. That's very good, Carl. I like your sense of humor. So you are a living coyote pretending to be a wooden coyote, right? Is that right? Okay. All right. So that's pretty good. So let's investigate this ghost a little bit. Okay. So remember, I have special powers, so you don't need to be too scared here. But look at this. What do you think? Have you ever seen that paw before? Have you? What about those ears? You seen those ears before? So what do we have here? This pretty peculiar ghost, don't you think? Yeah, right. So what is this ghost? Oh, you're right. It's just Rebecca, your friend. Living Rebecca pretending to be a ghost. Right? Okay, all right. So is that much better? Not so scared anymore? Okay, good. There you go. So Olivia, did you notice my special powers? Oh, Olivia says I have the special powers of explanation. And it certainly is true. It certainly is true. Are you looking to See where the screaming is coming from, Rebecca? It certainly is true that we're not as scared when we understand something, isn't it? That's very true. But, you know, actually, Rebecca, Olivia, there's more to it than that, because he really had to trust me, didn't he? Right. That's part of it, too. That's part of the minister magic. Okay, well, it sounds like you guys are going to have a wonderful Halloween now that we're all straightened out about who's who. And we will see you again around Thanksgiving. So, bye-bye.
Was that delightful or what? Yes, I see your applause. So how much we miss the children's laughter, don't we? Oh, I do. I miss hearing them and all of you. Let's pause the chat for a few minutes now during the meditation and prayer. Last night I put on my not Halloween mask, my regular mask, and I rode my bike just a few blocks around my house to see what this Halloween would look like in my neighborhood this year. Like, would people have the prepackaged treats set out, like a DIY Halloween trick-or-treat for the neighbor kids, like the CDC suggested? Or would kids be going for a walk in their costumes without trick-or-treating? But in my neighborhood, at least, I didn't see either of these things. It was completely dark and quiet outside. People really weren't even out walking their dogs at that time. There's a beautiful solidarity when we collectively take care of each other by not mingling right now. And it was also so eerie. In a year that has been hard, I think this weekend may be one of the more difficult ones. The virus is surging higher than ever before. Our governor has called for a week of mourning. Our treasured communal rituals are disrupted. And then there's the election, right? The election. Uncertainty hangs over everything right now. I can feel that all of that in my body. Can you? Will you take a breath with me? And another. Let's release as much of it as we can from our bodies as we breathe. As we breathe, we are present to what is, and we release it from our muscles. We acknowledge what is, and we breathe. I want to share with you a meditation for staying grounded and connected with what sustains us. It's called the Elemental Tree Meditation, and it was written by Raven, by our lay leader who's with us this morning. Thank you, Raven, for sharing this with us today. And this is a longer than usual meditation, which is perfect. You know the adage, right? What should you do when you're too busy to meditate? You should meditate twice as long. So, I invite you to find a comfortable position, and if possible, go ahead and place both of your feet flat on the ground. This is part of the grounding that we're going to do. So if your feet can't be on the ground right now, that's all right though. Just notice what part of your body is resting on something, which is resting on the earth. And when we speak of feet in this meditation, just let your awareness go to that part of your body. Notice how you're sitting. Feel how you are connected to the ground underneath you through the soles of your feet or your body. If you feel comfortable, you can close your eyes. Take a deep breath and release it. Feel the air as you inhale and exhale. Inhale deeply. Exhale deeply. Feel the air as it moves past your nostrils, into your sinuses, down into your lungs. Feel the air expand deep in your belly, pulling energy in. As you breathe in and out, notice any tension or worry you may have and let them go. Feel the movement of your belly as you continue to gently breathe in and out. As you inhale, let the healing, loving energy in the air fill you and let it circle through you. Feel it fill your center, flow up into your head, along your arms, down your legs, into your feet. As you exhale, let loving energy flow out with your breath. Focus your attention all the way down your core, down your legs and into your feet. Focus your attention on the soles of your feet or where you're connected to the earth and feel the earth underneath you as it supports you and grounds you. Now imagine that you have roots. They reach out, extending down through the floor, seeking down further into the earth below. Become aware of the soil underneath you, the rocks, the roots of plants, the small creatures that burrow. Feel the richness of the fertile, dark soil as your roots continue to reach down. Stretch your roots out, pulling in what energy you need. Through those strong roots, feel the connection with that healing earth energy. Pull it up through your roots, into your feet and your legs, up into your core, strong like the trunk of a tree, into your arms and your head. Release any remaining tension back down into the earth. And feel the healing of earth energy circle through you as you continue to gently breathe. As you feel that healing, loving energy of the earth move through you, allow loving energy to move from your center back down into the earth. Feel your love for the earth flow out down those roots. Now bring your attention to your arms. Gently stretch them out as you are able. Visualize them as branches, your fingers as leaves. Stretch your fingers wide if you can and feel the warmth of the sun on your leaves. Feel the transforming fiery energy of the sun as it gently shines on you. You have a body memory of this. Feel that. Feel the loving, transforming energy of sun as it spills across your branches. Feel your leaves gently stretch toward the sunlight. Feel that energy flow through your arms, up into your head, into your core, down your legs, all the way to your feet. Feel that energy as it circles through you As the energy flows through you, release loving energy from your center. Let it shine from you. And now, feel the gentle patter of rain as it hits your leaves. The nourishing energy of water. Feel the coolness as it pools on your leaves, runs down your branches onto your trunk. Hear the drops as they fall to the earth under you. Feel the loving, nourishing energy of water as it rains down on you. Feel the energy flow through your arms, up into your head, into your core, down your legs, all the way to your feet. Feel the nourishing, loving energy circle through you and release loving energy from your center, letting it flow out of you like water. And bring your attention again to your breathing. As your breath moves in and out, begin to notice the sounds around you. As you gently breathe, you could open your eyes if you like, and let your attention come back to the present. In this peaceful spirit, let us now share 2 minutes of silence simply to breathe and to be.
Joy and worry, gratitude and sorrow, each wind their way through our lives. Here in this shared space, in this beloved community, we are buoyed by each other's gladness and help to bear each other's burdens. When the music begins, share your joys and then your concerns in the chat bar for us to hold together. If you cannot write in the chat bar today, we still want to know what's going on with you. Contact us at caring@uuabq.org. Now, let's share together what's on our hearts. Thank you.
all these we lift up. And I want to especially lift up our beloved healthcare workers and our poll workers. We lift up frontline workers and all who are at heightened risk. Let us remember them as we make our own calculations of safety and risk each day. We lift up all who are suffering from COVID or other illness or recovering from injury, and all who are grieving on this day. We lift up our own Beatriz Mitchell, who is on hospice. May she be peaceful and at ease. We lift up Alan Porter and Gail Feigenbaum, experiencing a stressful transition in Alan's care. May they both be comforted. We lift up the name of Elaine Marr, who died this week. May her passing be in peace. And we hold her husband Elliot and their family and friends in our love. All these and all that remains unspoken, we lift up to the great powers of healing and renewal known by many names. Let us pray. Spirit of life, source of compassion and peace known by many names, Holy One, Ancestor, be with us now in our time of uncertainty and distress. We are praying for our country. Give us courage for the path that lies ahead. Help us to trust again and again in the vision of beloved community, where everyone is essential and no one is expendable, where the good is ranked higher than greed, where people thrive in harmony with our planet and with all life. Help us to trust and guide our steps that we may help to make it real. We give thanks for this world's beauty, for its abundance of loving hearts and its resilience, its capacity for healing. We give thanks for its deep currents of love and justice which transcend the vicissitudes of politics, which outlast epochs and plagues. We rededicate ourselves to that and to being present and persistent, faithful and steady in the days and months to come. Amen. And peace be with you.
All my relations come, every nation come, all my relations under the sun. Sing it, Takuya.
Today's reading is The Common Living Dirt by Marge Piercy. The small ears prick on the bushes, furry buds, shoots tender and pale. The swamp maples blow scarlet. Color teases the corner of the eye, delicate gold, chartreuse, crimson, mauve speckled, just dashed on.
The soil stretches naked, all winter hidden under the down comforter of snow, delicious now, rich in the hand as chocolate cake. The fragrant, busy soil, the worm passes through her gut, and the beetle swims in a lake.
As I kneel to put the seeds in, careful as stitching, I am in love. You are the bed we all sleep on. You are the food we eat, the food we ate, the food we will become. We are the walking trees rooted, we are walking trees rooted in you.
You can live thousands of years undressing in the spring of your black body, your red body, your brown body, penetrated by the rain. Here is the goddess unveiled, the earth opening her strong thighs.
Yet you grow exhausted with bearing too much, too soon, too often, just as a woman wears through. Like an old rug, we have contempt for what we spring from. Dirt, we say, you're dirt, as if we were not all your children.
We have lost the simplest gratitude. We lack the knowledge we showed 10,000 years past, that you live a goddess, but mortal, that what we take must be returned, that the poison we drop in you will stunt our children's growth.
Tending a plot of your flesh binds me as nothing ever could to the seasons, to the will of the plants, clamorous in their green tenderness. What calls louder than the cry of a field of corn ready or trees of ripe peaches?
I worship on my knees, laying the seeds in you, that worship rooted in need, in hunger, in kinship, flesh of the planet with my own flesh, a ritual of compost, a litany of manure.
My garden's a chapel, but a meadow gone wild in grass and flower is a cathedral. How you seethe with little quick ones, vole, field mouse, shrew, and mole in their thousands, rabbit and woodchuck. In you rest the jewels of the genes wrapped in seed.
Power warps because it involves joy and domination. Also because it means forgetting how we too starve, break like a corn stalk in the wind, how we die like the spinach of drought, how what slays the vole slays us. Because you can die of overwork, because you can die of the fire that melts rock, because you can die of the poison that kills the beetle and the slug, we must come again and worship you on our knees. The common living dirt. There ends the reading.
I guess this is appropriate for Halloween, but I learned something gruesome but compelling the other day. So I learned that when we cut our skin, eventually the skin heals and there's a scar for a while, right? Totally normal. And a lot of the times the scars totally disappear. We forget that they were ever there. But the truth is they're always still there under the skin. And if we have really bad nutrition, specifically a lack of vitamin C, those scars, even if they've been healed for a really long time, will open again. And this would happen to sailors back in the Age of Discovery when they couldn't eat any fruit and got scurvy. They would eat limes, and that's why they were called limeys. And you know, this little factoid got me thinking about all the scars that we all carry. We may not be able to see them anymore, and yet they're still there. And if we don't give ourselves the right kind of diet, the right kind of nutrition, the continued healing that creates, those scars can return to the surface and then need to heal all over again. So how do we give ourselves the right nutrition to keep our emotional scars healed? Well, I know for a lot of people in this congregation, the answer that nutrition is time in nature. Whether it's a serious backpack trip into a remote region or just a walk or a roll around the block, our time outside in the company of nature heals us. So I had a chance to see a wonderful documentary recently, and I want to thank Geraldine Bowen for recommending it. It's called My Octopus Teacher. You can watch it on Netflix, My Octopus Teacher. It's a story of a man who is a nature videographer, and he has a good career. He actually becomes very successful, but he works too hard and burns out. And he realizes in that moment that he's neglected his family and that he's neglected himself. So he goes back to his roots, stops working. And you know, he grew up swimming in the tide pools near Cape Town, South Africa. And he just puts an end to all the work and he makes a vow to go swimming in those pools every day for a year. Now there are these extraordinary kelp forests in the water there. And in those days, he begins to form a powerful connection with an octopus that he meets. I'm not going to say any more about the plot so you can enjoy it for yourself, but I was so moved by the way that his time getting deeply in touch with nature healed him and returned him to his whole self. So I strongly recommend this documentary, and it's beautiful and it's so compelling. I promise you that you'll forget about current events for 90 minutes. How's that for worthwhile time spent? Yeah, nature. You know, I used to lead outdoor trips for young men coming out of juvenile detention system in Massachusetts. So for 28 days, they'd get the benefit of being in nature, seeing things that are beautiful, enjoying that feeling of strength and relaxation after a long hike, you know, facing challenges. You know, I remember we had a little ropes course, which was made up of a series of stations linked by different rope exercises. Yep. And there was this one which had two platforms. So one was about 4 feet by 4 feet. It's about 6 feet off the ground. And the other is about, well, maybe that one was higher, maybe more like 8 feet off the ground. And the other one was 10 feet by 10 feet, about 6 feet off the ground. And the idea was you had to swing by a rope from one to the other. And we had a group of people, we all had to do it together as a group. So I led the way, you know, swinging from the little platform to the big platform. And then I asked for a volunteer to go next. And I had a favorite kid in that group, a young man named Jose. He's 14 years old. He was 6'3" and probably carried 300 pounds. He was just a lovable pear-shaped guy, always eager to please. Never worked out a day in his life. And just really enjoyed being around him. So he was really nervous, but he went first. Kind of took him a while to get the nerve. But he finally steps off the platform and he begins to swing towards me for me to catch him. And in that moment, my mind caught up with the physics of that situation. And I saw him accelerating towards me. And I realized that it was a no moment. But before I had a chance to move or even breathe, he came barreling into me and he knocked me clean off that platform. And I fell 6 feet to the ground, and got the air knocked out of me. And Jose like just hung onto the rope and ended up like dangling in the middle between the platforms, just like 4 feet off the ground, but like too scared to let go of the rope, you know. And I'm on the ground like trying to and the rest of the kids and the instructors just about busted a gut laughing at us. So Nolan was seriously injured, you know, and it was actually kind of joyous to see those normally really sullen youths laughing so hard, so genuinely, you know. So time in nature can be really healing for humans, but how do we humans reciprocate? You know, any healthy relationship has a balance of give and take. You know, we humans take a lot of healing from nature, like that reading about dirt that we just did tells us. But we're doing a terrible job of offering healing to nature in return. And I think like Jose swinging towards me on a rope, nature will not be denied. Nature will knock us off our platform onto the ground. We see that now in the hurricanes in the Gulf Coast and the typhoon out in the Philippines and the wildfires just to the north of us and a serious drought right here in New Mexico that's making our rivers run dry. As the saying goes, nature bats last. How can we change this imbalance in healing? Now, to be real, we need to acknowledge that we must have systemic changes that are beyond the power of individuals to make happen just on their own. So here's one last reminder to vote this week if you haven't already. Governments and corporations need to make radical adjustments if we're going to save the planet. And we can never stop making noise to make those happen. And so please vote. But I also think that one way that we as individuals can bring balance and mutual healing back into our relationship with nature is for us to practice being really conscious of nature as much as possible. That means noting and appreciating the beauty that is right in front of us. That means seeing all these gorgeous places, big and small, tiny as a leaf, big as a forest, all these gorgeous places all around us, and understand what we'll lose if we don't offer healing back to nature. Yeah. During that fabulous snowstorm last week, I went out in the teeth of it and took a walk through the bosque, and it was wild out. The wind was lashing the snow into my face. You know, it reminded me of my hometown of Buffalo. It really took me back. And the bosque was stunning. The ground was white. The leaves in the cottonwoods were gold, and there were red grape leaves offering these exquisite splashes of color. And I saw so many crows reeling around in the wind, these big black birds seemingly at home in a white and orange landscape. You know, and I walked through areas where the invasive species like the Russian olives had been cleared out. And I could see like how healthy the ecosystem looked even in winter. And I felt so much gratitude for that place. And I saw how nature and humans could heal each other right in front of me. You know, a couple of months ago, I took a trip up to Dixon in North Mexico, so north of Taos, to camp in an apple orchard of a friend. And the apple orchard backs up against Embudo Creek, which is just like a 20-foot wide stream that runs down east to west into the Rio Grande. It was still really hot then. So I was excited to have a place to splash and cool down right next to my tent. So once I got set up, I walked down to the creek and I was stunned to find that it was bone dry. The river rocks were baked white in the sun. I saw the drought in action, and I thought with a heavy heart, this creek is dead now. So the next morning, I went back down there to gather some firewood, and I looked east up the creek. And I was shocked to see a front of water rolling slowly down the creek. And I stood there baffled, and within 10 minutes, there was a foot of water in the creek which had been dry just 10 minutes before, and it was flowing steadily through. I could feel the cold water on my feet. And I was really stunned and confused by that. And so I told my host about it, and she told me that the previous day, the farmers upstream had been allowed to open their irrigation gates. And that was enough to drain the creek dry at the point where I was. And I guess the following day, it was the turn of the farmers farther downstream. Now, I like food. It's essential. I love farmers. But it broke my heart to think that they had to kill the creek and everything that lived in it so that they could grow their crops. Is this a trade-off that we have to make? It really was heartbreaking. Paying attention to nature, taking note, appreciating, makes us not just think, but feel. All the things I saw in the Bosque and the Adambudo Creek gave me emotions of gratitude and loss and frustration and confusion. You know, thinking helps us to understand, but the feelings we have move us into action. I can't unsee the things I saw on those days, and I can't unfeel those feelings. They stay with me, and they move me to pay more attention in general, and to pay definitely more attention to the people making decisions that affect those beautiful places. Our emotions in these things aren't a distraction. They're a source of energy and power. So you might have heard about the UUs having a stereotype of being too much in their heads. I think stereotypes can be really dangerous. But I have seen us resisting the call to feel something in a situation rather than just analyze it. Feelings make us vulnerable. Who wants to spend time being terrified of the destruction of the planet? I sure don't, not me. But feelings can do things that thinking can't. Feelings give us energy. Feelings point us towards the things that really matter for us. And feelings can cross the gap between people and between people and places. Our feelings may make us uncomfortable, but I also think that they will save us. Truly, the greatest things that have been done out of a feeling, the feeling of love. So let us consider the feelings that paying attention to nature brings us. I hope right now in these difficult days that nature is offering the feeling of healing for everyone here. And I hope that we can pay attention and feel the feelings that spur us to action. May it be so.
Our quarterly recipient is SAGE, which provides support for older LGBT people in the community in the Albuquerque metropolitan area through advocacy, social programs, education, support groups, and resource distribution. SAGE counters isolation, fear, and loneliness by creating a caring community of LGBT elders who look out for each other.
Better times will come when
What is generously given is received with gratitude. Thank you on behalf of the congregation and on behalf of SAGE. We are now nearing the end of the formal time of this service. And of course, as always, you're invited to stay for small group chats. If you'd like to do that, just stay through the postlude and we will give you the option of going to a breakout room so that you can visit with your fellow UVUs. And whether you're visiting with others in a breakout room or in your home or on a socially distanced walk, I want to leave you with a discussion question to consider. We've had themes in this service of nourishment, connectedness, and staying grounded. So I wonder where you see those fitting into your week, this particular week. What will you do in terms of nourishment and staying grounded and connected? I invite you to share your ideas with each other.
Let's extinguish our chalices. Whatever happens this week, we'll be in it together. Whatever happens this week, we'll have each other's backs. Whatever happens this week, the things that we know to be true will still be true. Go in peace, hold to your faith, and practice radical love. We'll see you at Vespers on Wednesday.
Not know. brought me to my knees, where I heard all will be well, all will be well, all manner of things will be well. I said, Julian, you are holy, you are holding my hand. Not